Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Heavenly Father, please help us. I pray this so often, but Lord, we would see Jesus. That's what we're interested in. We want to see the Lord. As John said, let us decrease so that he might increase. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he, and this chapter is talking about Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. The root out of dry ground. You know, in Matthew chapter 1, it starts the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And it says, Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and it goes on through. It mentions anybody that you want to know about. But in verse 6, and Jesse begat David the king. And David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias. And it goes on down. But in verse 11, and Josias begat Jeconias or Jeconiah and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, and on down. And finally you get to Jesus Christ, and we understand this story. You can find the very similar lineage in Luke, and it shows through Joseph and through Mary. It shows that Jesus is rightfully an heir to the throne. There's no question about it. This is the record. You've got the New Testament. You've got the Old Testament. You've got history. And it's not just, oh, it's written in the Bible. They go to the other kingdoms. And the other kingdoms will write about their battles and whatever. And you can take all the history of all the different peoples and put them together, and you pretty much get the same thing. But Jeconiah, or Jeconias, he's in the lineage of Christ. But in Jeremiah chapter 22, because Jeconiah was not a good king, Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 28 through 30, it says in verse 30, Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days. For no man of his seed or his offspring shall prosper sitting any more on the throne of David, ruling any more in Judah. We just read in Matthew chapter 1 that Jeconiah, or in the shortened form, Coniah, he's in the lineage from David to Christ. Yet this prophecy, this curse really says that he won't have an heir sitting on the throne of David anymore. And you say, well, it contradicts itself. It really doesn't. Because we understand that Joseph was not Jesus' real father. So although, and I'm sure that there's grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and the genealogy tree got so wide that who could say that Joseph specifically and not his cousin or whatever was supposedly in the line to be king? And that if there was a king, that Joseph and then his son Jesus would be the one. But certainly he's in the lineage. And we know that Jesus is the king of the Jews. We know it. And he one day will sit on David's king in the new kingdom. Through his mother Mary, the line is perfect. And through Joseph, the line is perfect, except he was adopted by Joseph. You understand? Does that make any sense? Because of Jeconiah's sin and the curse of God, it made it possible that Jesus could be son of Mary and son of God. Does that make sense? He's a root out of dry ground. He springs up where, after hundreds and hundreds of years, there was no more king in Judah. And boom, he's the rightful heir. There's no beauty where we should desire him. He hath no form or comeliness. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. I said, I guess last week, that Jesus was just an average guy. Nothing special. You know, he wasn't a quarterback on the team. Might have been the water boy, but he wasn't the star of the show. You find evidence that when he finally began his ministry in Mark chapter 6, verse 3, all the people that knew him from his village says, isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary? And it lists his brothers, James, Joseph, and Judah, and Simon, and the sisters, doesn't mention them by name. We know this guy. Well, who does he think he is standing up and preaching? Right? And they were offended at him. Don't have it in my notes, but in Luke, I guess it's chapter 4, he stood up and he said, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He announced himself, and it says that they took him at the end of it to the edge of the cliff and were going to throw him off. They were offended at him. There's no beauty where we should desire him, and he was despised and we esteemed him not. Verse 4 in Isaiah 53, surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Again, he's not the one you want to look up to. Not in his own abilities. He never had any fame until he began to preach, obviously, than that, but it's not anything that we would run to. I said last time that Hollywood, if they had a casting call, they'd come to town and they would have said, well, Jesus, that's fine, but, you know, we're going to pick somebody else. He was just an average guy, nothing special. And you can read the record. When he was born, and on the eighth day, these people came to prophesy, that the shepherds came, and that's great. And when he was 12, at his bar mitzvah, he began to teach the word of God, and that was great, but it says that they said, hey, no, you got to come with us, and he was subject unto his parents, and he didn't do anything else that we know of until he was 30 years old and began to preach. And the prophet Isaiah said, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Now, he's the Son of God. There's no question. He did a great thing when he died on the cross for the sins of the world. But apart from that, he was just an average guy. Remember, he's God come in the flesh. He's 100% God and 100% man. And when he was living as a man, not doing miracles, whatever, he was just an ordinary man. He was man. And that's what this is showing here. But he was wounded, verse 5. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep are gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. When they nailed him to that cross cut out of a tree, and he was hanging there. He was hanging on a tree. And he was, in fact, made a curse. The sins of the world were placed upon him. We can talk about in the Old Testament, Leviticus, about the scapegoat. Our sins were placed upon him. He became a curse for us. And to this day, the world doesn't want anything to do with that. Find they'll watch the big churches on TV. But if those big churches, if they preach Calvary, if they preach that men were sinners and hopelessly lost and not good and evil, and that the only way to escape hell was to repent and to call out to God and to believe that Jesus died in their place, those mega churches would be mega empty in just a couple of weeks. But he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Luke chapter 18, verse 32, for he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. Everything in Isaiah chapter 53, you can go to the Gospels and find where everything was fulfilled. Just in this one chapter, fulfillment after fulfillment after fulfillment. In verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. You take these three verses and you find wonderful prophecies and amazing, amazing detail being foretold hundreds of years before. Jesus didn't defend himself before Pilate and the others. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He did not defend himself. He was taken from prison in judgment. Who shall declare his generation? Nobody stood up for him. Nobody did. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. We know he was crucified between two thieves. That's with the wicked. And the rich in his death, you can read about Joseph of Arimathea, the rich man, the disciple. It says that that man went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And then Joseph had taken down the body. He wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own tomb, which he had carved out or hewed out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone at the door of the sepulcher and departed. That's in Matthew chapter 27. Everything we read here in Isaiah 53 was fulfilled. The odds, I don't know, I could go find it exactly, but the odds of one man fulfilling all of Isaiah 53 in 24 hours is astonishing. It's just not possible. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Luke chapter 23, verse 4, then Pilate said unto the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. It's not in my notes, but you can think about the Passover that Jesus was. They took it on one day and they kept it in the house 4 days to be inspected. And if it was spotless, then it was worthy to be sacrificed. Jesus rode into Jerusalem and for the next 4 days he was there. In the temple, what have you, and nobody had one thing to say about it. He was spotless. He was inspected and worthy to be the sacrifice. So many things in the Old Testament, Jesus fulfilled to the letter. To me, that's astounding. And I very much enjoy reading what we call messianic prophecy. The prophecies dealing with Christ's first coming. Back to Isaiah. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. I said last time and the time before, we need to go to the Bible to learn about the Lord, and specifically the Old Testament. But we find it's 100% accurate in pointing out and describing Jesus, identifying him, and telling pretty much everything he did in his 3.5 years of ministry. Hebrews 9, verse 22. In almost all things are purged with blood by the law. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. I've got a couple of things that you'll find in my notes that aren't listed. I don't have time. I won't go over them. I'm perfectly happy to talk about them, but not tonight. Verse 12, to end the chapter. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's the one. He's the one. Let's put our trust in him. Let's look at him. If I be lifted up, not if my church be lifted up, but not my denomination or that great revival meeting or anything. If I be lifted up, he said, I'll draw all men unto myself. He's the one that shed His blood for our sins. He's the one that can save. And you can belong to the ministerial association and go straight to hell if your eyes are not on Christ. So much false doctrine, lies preached over television. And millions of Americans are going to go to hell sitting on the couch because their eyes are not on Christ. And if you're listening and that's you, you need to repent. And again, this is going on the radio. That's why I said that. John chapter 1. You can turn, but you know these passages. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him, Jesus Christ, was life, and the life was the light of men, the only light of men. You can talk about the temple. I love to talk about that. You can talk about the seven golden candlestick in the holy place. That was the only light there was. In that darkened room covered by those skins, you would stumble and fall and trip because you would be blind except Christ, the seven golden candlestick, illuminated that room. If you want to find your way to God, there's not many ways to God, there's one way to God. Christ is the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 10, He was in the world, Jesus, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He is the King of the Jews. He's the Creator of the universe. He comes to live with men and specifically to His people. And they rejected Him. His own people nailed Him to the cross. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm a broken record and I know it. I'm not going to preach anything else but what I've just told you. I may go out of some different book. I may choose something in the old or the new. We may teach on this or that or tithing, who knows what, but I'm going to tell you about Christ.
When it was dark in my heart, You brought light to me, a child of darkness became a child of light. And when my soul and I needed drink, the water of life, You became for me. I am, You said to me.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.